Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Hello. We're so excited to see all of you here today for worship. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, we would just ask that you fill out a little visitor's card in the pew in front of you, and you'll just drop that off in the offering plate as it comes by. But the first thing we want to do this morning, if you are a veteran, will you please stand? We want to say a special thanks to you. Thank you. A few announcements for you all. Today from 3:30 to 5 and Wednesday from 6:30 to 8:30, the trailer will be open for any Kentucky donations you may have. So please keep that in mind. Also, budgets are due today. So if you have your budget proposal ready to go, please see one of the members of the Finance Committee and give that to them. This week is also the week of prayer for Baptist Children's Homes. Please see the insert that's inside your bulletin, and that will tell you how you can pray all week long for the Baptist Children's Home. And then also we want to bring to your attention that next Sunday, we will be having our Thanksgiving worship service in here at 6:30, and we hope that you can join us for that. So please mark your calendars for that very special worship service. Just a few updates on prayer concerns. Fran Thomas had her Mohs procedure this past week, and it's my understanding that she is doing well, but we still want to remember her in our prayers. Addison Webster had his tonsils out, not this past week, but the week before, and he's had a few complications, and so we just want to continue praying for him as he's healing. And then also Pastor Gary had his surgery this past week, and he is here with us. He is on vacation here, but he's here, and we're thankful that he's here with us today and that he's doing okay, but we still want to remember him and as he's healing in his process as well. Now let us turn our hearts and minds towards worship.
Thank you.
you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have gathered in this holy place today to worship your name, let us find ourselves thankful. Thankful for your love and grace and never-ceasing mercies over us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's a beautiful way to start worship. Let us turn to hymn number 410, It Is Well With My Soul. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you. Dear Lord, we're thankful for this day and for the opportunity to gather here and worship you, Lord. We ask that you be with all the people on the prayer list and those who are not on the prayer list who need you, Lord. You know their needs well more than we do. We ask that you be with Taylor as she delivers this morning message and that everybody gets the message they need to hear from it, Lord. We ask that you take these tithes and use them to further your kingdom and us to thy service. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Underneath that, would you all stand and read responsibly with me? I'll read the light print, you read the bold print, please. Who is our family?
We are family by heritage, by community, by humanity.
Who is our sister? Who is our brother?
We are brothers and sisters of all for whom Christ died.
Who is our child?
We are the parents of all children who need care and love and protection.
Who is our parent?
We are the children responsible for all the elderly who are vulnerable, weak, and lonely.
By the grace of God, we will embrace
come down here. Come on around, guys, right here so you can see. Okay, good morning, boys and girls. Thank you. We have a special guest this morning. So I want him to come in so you can meet him. Come in. Who do we have here?
My name is Joseph.
Joseph? Okay. You want to tell us anything?
Yes. I was the favorite son. And my favorite son, Jacob, he loved me so much. This is my aunt's coat. My brothers are very jealous of me, of my dad's love for me. They are so jealous that they sold me to be a servant. Thankfully, because of God's faithfulness, I came into a position of power under Pharaoh. Eventually, I could get my brother and I was reunited with my father. I'm thankful that God was watching over me even when it seemed like all hope was lost. He is a good father.
Thank you, Joseph. Look at his coat, boys and girls. It's called the coat of many colors. Isn't it beautiful? And who did you remember his name? Who is this?
Joseph.
Joseph, how many brothers did you have?
12.
Well, 11, counting yourself, right? Okay. And what was your father's name?
Jacob.
Jacob. Okay. Well, thank you for visiting with us. You want to sit over there?
Yeah.
Okay. You can join us. Okay. Thank you. Meet Joseph, boys and girls, in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. You learn that Joseph was one of 12 boys, and he was one of the younger boys. Joseph's father loved him so much that he made him that special coat of many colors. Now, it must have been very special, because probably back in that day, the coats were probably made out of animal skins, and probably weren't very colorful, were they? But this coat was special. Joseph was a shepherd, and he needed a coat out in the field looking after the sheep. Well, you know, his other brothers, the 11, began to notice how beautiful that coat was, and they didn't like it. They became jealous. Instead of being happy, want to listen here? Come on, turn around. Thank you. I want you to hear about Joseph. They became jealous when they saw that beautiful coat that their little brother was wearing. You ever become jealous? No? Well, instead of being happy for Joseph, they became, like I said, very jealous. And one day when Joseph was out in the field looking after his flock, they decided that they were going to sell him. And they sold him into slavery. They went back home and told the father, Jacob, that an animal had killed him. So you see, jealousy makes us do things that hurt other people. Have you ever had an argument or a fuss with your brother? You have? I'm surprised. Ever have an argument with your sister? Yeah? It's easy to do, isn't it? Well, let's think about that today when we think about Joseph. God doesn't want us to be jealous. He doesn't want us to argue and fuss with our brothers and sisters. Listen to what the Bible says in John 15:12. Listen carefully. It says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Let me read it again. My command is this. You don't have a choice, do you? It didn't say, well, you can love or you cannot love. It said, my command is to love each other. God wants us to love each other. God made the family. God created Adam and Eve, and that began the family. And you are part of a family, aren't you? The family is supposed to love each other. That's God's command. Love each other. Love your family. He also wants us to be like a team, to help each other. Instead of
trying to do something mean to your brother, you need, or sister, you need to be helping them. Any way you can help your brothers or sisters. That's what God wants us to do. He also wants us to pray for our family. This has always been special to me. You know, one of the 10 commandments, there's only 10, and one of them is honor thy mother and father. So I think that must be pretty important to God, because he put that as one of the 10 commandments, to honor our mother and father. God wants us to think about his will, God's will, instead of our own. So as you go through the week, I want you to think that, about how grateful you should be, how thankful you should be for your family. And instead of being fussy and fighting and picking on each other, I want you to think about God's will, and I want you to help take care of your family and love your family, okay? And think about Joseph, his coat of many colors. As Joseph told you later on, he forgave his brothers for what they did. He did God's will and not his own. Okay, let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for these children, and we thank you for families. It is your plan, and we are so grateful that you planned that and put us in a family to take care of us. Help us to be good people and good family members. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Joseph.
If I can get the children to actually stay and come to stand in front of the shoeboxes, we're going to have a blessing over our shoeboxes today. So, children, if you'll just stay right here, and any ACT teens, if you guys want to come down as well to stand beside the boxes. Our children have been working hard to pack these boxes that you see in front of us, as well as our ACT teens on Wednesday nights. Awana and our ACT teens participated in that. I just wanted to share a few little facts with you about Operation Christmas Child. Operation Christmas Child is the world's largest Christmas project and includes teams of year-round volunteers. All children receiving one of these boxes are invited to participate in a 12-week discipleship program led by volunteers and teachers trained in evangelism and passionate about multiplying new believers. 11 scripture-based stories about Jesus are provided to every child in the discipleship program. A gift box to one child can impact, on average, up to 10 people. So one of these boxes could impact up to 10 people. We are so thankful that we were able to give so much and to be a part of really loving God by loving others. And we're thankful that our children and our ACT teens were able to participate in that process as well. So now I just ask that we join together as we say a prayer over these boxes and those who will receive them. Dear God, we thank you so much that we are able to share with others what we have, God. We have so much, and we are so blessed. And to be able to share just a little bit with someone else means so much to us. God, I pray for each person that will receive one of these boxes, that their lives may be touched, and that they may be touched by you. God, we just pray that you would be known through giving out these boxes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. If you would open your Bibles, we will be looking at Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. And if you would stand for the reading of God's holy word. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have come now to the time in our service where we get to hear a word from you. God, I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth would honor and glorify your name, and that they would speak a message to someone in this place today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I feel as though I need to preface this sermon by saying my husband, Kevin, is not here today because he's at a conference. It's not because I'm preaching. So just so you know, because some of you were wondering, I'm sure. No, in all seriousness, I'm glad to be up here this morning and to be able to share a word from the Lord with you, and thankful to Gary for this opportunity. So thank you. A few weeks back, I was on the phone with my mom, as I often am after work, and I was telling her that I would be preaching on November the 12th. She asked me, "So have you figured out what you're going to say?" I responded, "Nope, still waiting." As we began to get closer to today, she said, "So have you found your word yet?" And I could tell that she was getting worried for me about what I was going to say. She even asked me, she said, How do you prepare for a sermon? How does that work? Like, does God come to you in a dream? Like, how does that all work?" And so I told her, I said, "Well, usually it's at a very odd time, and I'll get an idea in my head, and then I kind of just go with it." And so for me, my word from the Lord came about 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night while I was eating sweet pickles. Sweet pickles, in fact, that someone from the Pounding gave to me and Kevin. They were homemade, and they were delicious. And so this is what I have to tell you about sweet pickles. Sweet pickles, to me, are more than just sweet pickles, because they have a significant meaning for me. They take me back to a time in my life when things were simple. Do you ever miss when things were simple? It seems like so long ago, and for me, I can very vividly remember sitting in my grandfather's kitchen while we shared some sweet pickles that he had made. He would have them in his green Tupperware container that stayed in the same spot in the refrigerator for years and years. I can still picture it in my mind. It had this little handle that you would pull up, and it would drain all the juice out, so all that would come up to the top was the pickles. And so We would sit there and we would eat those pickles and we would talk and we would create memories. It became our routine. Every time I would come over for a visit, I would head straight to the fridge and he would have that container stocked because he knew that I was coming and what I was going to be looking for. Because those pickles were always there waiting for me, I knew I was important. This is one of my fondest memories about growing up and sharing time with my family. This past week, I asked some of you to share some of your fondest memories about growing up, and I got some pretty good responses. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to do that, and I want to share some of them with you this morning. I'm not going to share all of them because there are quite a few, and we don't want to be here too long. So I'll just go through some that were really good and stood out to me. One person said squirrel hunting and tree climbing. Pretty good memory. Another person said, taking a ride up a mountain in winter to get to see my dad, who worked on top of the mountain via snow cab. Someone else said, growing up surrounded by family and growing up with my cousins, we had built-in playmates at all times. We played a lot of kickball in my parents' front yard and caught a lot of lightning bugs. Several of you said, Christmas breakfast with my family. And two more I'm going to share with you that are a little bit longer, but I think they're really good. On Sunday afternoons, we, my family and all my cousins, went to grandmother and grandfather's house. In the winter, we sat around the kitchen fireplace and talked, sometimes popped popcorn over the fire and ate hard candy left over from Christmas. In the summer, we cousins played outside with dolls and sometimes made rooms in the dirt, using rocks to divide the rooms and broken dishes for the kitchen. We found all kinds of things to decorate our houses. They were called rock houses. We had so much fun. Sometimes we would argue, but most of the time we were happy and carefree. And finally, the last memory that I'll share with you. Going to Hudson Belk with my mama, located at one time in downtown Raleigh, and having a light lunch, either a hot dog or hamburger with fries. And they had these special homemade donuts, which I had to have. And then we would shop a little bit. As a child, we didn't have the funds to shop much or eat out much, so it made it really special. I love each of these memories, and many of the ones that were shared actually centered around the holidays. I didn't share all of those, but a majority of them did. And the holidays are what bring families together who may not see each other all year long until these occasions, or it could just be a special time for everyone to gather together. We are no longer quickly approaching the holiday season. It's already all around us. Christmas trees fill stores, and Thanksgiving is already slipping by before it's even here. However, while many people have happy memories and look forward to getting together with family during holidays, for some, it can also be a difficult time. Maybe things have changed within your family, and you long for a time when it was like your memories that you shared. Or maybe there's dysfunction and it becomes so much more evident during the time when everyone is supposed to be jolly and together. Sadly, I'm no longer 7 years old and my grandfather no longer makes sweet pickles. About a year and a half ago, he had a stroke and it slowed him down quite a bit. Thankfully, he's still able to get around, but things just aren't what they used to be. Let's look back at our text for today, the story of Joseph. Many of you know this story by what was mentioned earlier during the children's sermon, his coat of many colors. But did you know that scholars have found that the translation for coat of many colors actually means that it was a long-sleeved coat? It may not have anything to do with the color, but the coat is not our focus here today. The focus is on Joseph's family. Joseph was Jacob's favorite. Jacob loved Joseph very much and even chose to give him this coat as a symbol of his love for him. While Joseph and Jacob had a wonderful relationship, Joseph's brothers were not so fond of him because he was the favorite. So already we see that family relations are not too great for Joseph. with one brother clearly being the favorite, and that's Joseph, obviously. So not only does Joseph have a custom robe made just for him by his father, but he begins to share these dreams that he had been having. "Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." Okay, so maybe this wasn't the best move on Joseph's part to share such information with his brothers who already hated him. Because essentially, what he's telling them is that he has a vision of them bowing down to him. But even then, God was beginning to mold Joseph to use the gift he had given to him. Y'all know the story. One day, Joseph goes out into the field to find his brothers. As he begins to approach them, they are secretly conspiring to kill him and say that an animal has devoured him. Thankfully, Reuben, the oldest brother, speaks up and says, "Let's not take his life, but rather we'll just throw him in this pit." All the while, Reuben's plan was to return to the pit and save him so that he can return him to his father and be a hero. So the brothers strip his coat from him and throw him into this pit. And then naturally, the next thing they do, they sit down to eat lunch because they just threw their brother in a pit. So why not? Have some food. So while they're sitting down to have lunch, this caravan approaches with Ishmaelites in it. So now Judah speaks up and says, "Let's make a profit off of this and sell him. We're not just going to leave him here in this pit. Let's make something out of this." They then sell their own brother for 20 shekels of silver. Now, to put that in perspective for you, a shekel is about half an ounce. So they're selling their brother for about 6 ounces of silver. Okay. So he's taken off to Egypt. Now, Reuben returns and sees that he is not in the pit and confronts his brothers as to his whereabouts. They then decide to dip Joseph's robe in goat's blood to make it look like an animal attack. They return the robe to their father Jacob, and immediately he identifies it as Joseph's and begins to mourn. All the while, Joseph was taken into Egypt and was sold to Potiphar, an officer to Pharaoh. Eventually, it was through his service to Potiphar and then to Pharaoh himself that Joseph became very valuable. He would interpret Pharaoh's dreams and even earn the position of governor over the land. It was during this service that Joseph is reunited with his brothers, and the very scene that he had pictured in his dreams so many years ago comes to life with his brothers bowing down before him. Here we see the story coming full circle. Joseph, whom his brothers wanted to kill, saves those very brothers who hated him so much that they sold him. So not only does Joseph save them, but he also forgives them. This could only have been done through the work of the Lord. In Genesis 46 through 20, verse 28 through 30, Joseph is reunited with his father, Jacob. And it says, "He had sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. Israel said to Joseph, 'Now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive.'" For me, the reuniting of this family who faced so much heartache, hatred, and betrayal was not the only beautiful part of this story. For me, the beauty comes in seeing God's perfect plan unfold through the life of Joseph. Faithful to God, he remained even after his own brothers sold him for ounces of silver, because he knew that he would always be part of a much bigger family than anyone could ever take away or change, the family of God. Perhaps today, as we prepare ourselves for the upcoming weeks of gatherings of our families, some of us may be feeling unsure, unsure of what to expect, if we'll get to see that family member that has become distant, or perhaps things have changed and we have family members who have gone home to be with the Lord, and this is our first family gathering without them. Whatever challenge you may be facing, in thinking about the holiday season, take heart in the fact that you are not alone. You are indeed still a part of the family of God. Today, I want to challenge you in this season of joy and thanksgiving to truly allow yourselves to be thankful. Things may not be the way you think they ought to be, and you may be facing issues, whether with family or personally. But one thing that you can be thankful for in the midst of this season of life is that God is still faithful, and He is still using us for His good work. Or maybe there's some of you here today that aren't facing any trials in your family life, and you're excited for the holidays and the joy that they will bring. But we still ought to remember our bigger family, our family that we are a part of as the children of God. How can you reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ to be a light for them? God is at work. How will you respond? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are a part of your family. No matter what struggles we may be facing in life or what changes we are facing, we take comfort in knowing that you are constant, constantly walking beside us through daily life. Help us this day to recognize your presence, Lord. Help us to be your light this holiday season for someone who may need it. Help us to shine bright. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I now invite you to our time of invitation. We will be singing hymn number 386, and you can turn your hymnals there now. And maybe there's some of you here today that this message has really struck a chord with you, and you just feel like you need to take a few moments to sit and pray and ask God for His help in this season of life, whatever it may mean for you. Or maybe you feel the call to be reaching out to someone as a member of the family of God and choosing to be a light for someone else. However God is calling you today, how will you respond?
I had a couple of prayer reports this week I wanted to share with y'all. My kidney doctor said my kidneys never looked no better. And Dr. Shirley wanted me back in the eye last another year to get another MRI. So I just thank y'all so much for all your prayers and most of all for God and His healing power. Thank you.
I've been told I need a mic. What a beautiful illustration of how the family of God can work together to pray for those that may be facing hard times, whether it's sickness or family or whatever may be going on. I would just encourage you, think about the people that are around you in your life. How can you reach out and be a friend to someone who may need it this holiday season? Now let's say a prayer together as we go. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to have gathered in your house this morning to sing your praises and to see prayers being answered, Lord. How wonderful that is. God, I pray that you be with us as we leave this place. Help us to be your hands and feet in the world and to be your children and to shine your light bright to all so that all can see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.